The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism giant poster.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We come to the reading here in Mark chapter 14. Very familiar story. It's kind of the dark moment of the soul, the dark night of the soul for St. Peter, who has made so many great promises to Jesus. He has promised that he will go with him to die. He has adamantly refused earlier in the evening, just hours before, if not less than hours before, that he would deny Jesus. He's denied that he would ever deny Jesus. All the rest of these will forsake you, but I will never do it. And mere moments later, in the same night as Jesus had predicted, there is Peter, terrified of a little slave girl around a campfire, denying Jesus three times. Now, Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Does St. Peter, on account of this, deserve to be denied by Christ? Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson looking at Mark chapter 14. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Jesus makes it pretty clear that those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Does St. Peter deserve, because of his denials of Christ three times, to be denied by Jesus?
Yes, he certainly deserves it. But I want to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says much the same. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But then the next part is important. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I'll tell you the difference with Peter if we compare him with Judas. Even though it appears that Judas repented, the Greek word there doesn't mean true repentance. It just means that he was sorry for the way things turned out. But remember, Peter wept when Jesus looked at him, and that was true repentance. And therefore, even if we deny him, if we remain in that denial, he would deny us. But when repentance occurs through the power of the Holy Spirit, then verse 13 of 2 Timothy 2 comes up. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It's the new covenant that we no longer will be remembered for our sins.
Now, Jesus has predicted this very event. Tell us about that, Tom.
Yes. Jesus predicted it at the Last Supper, and of course, Peter says, there's no way that I'm going to deny you. And I think this is a really important lesson for all of us. The reason this is in the Bible is because we all deny Jesus to some measure. In fact, it's kind of interesting. If you take a look at the gospel reading for this coming Palm Sunday, it indicates that there are some who believed in Jesus, but they did not confess him. And verse 43 of John 12 says why? For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. In other words, once Jesus does a prophecy, Peter should have not at all denied what Jesus was saying, because Jesus is God. But what is the theological essence of pride? I believe the best way to understand it is I become proud when I see myself, when I perceive myself as having a divinity about myself, that I can control my life. So even the Bible is very clear that I, Tom Baker, a pastor for many years, am going to sin daily. I don't like to hear that, and I wish I wouldn't, but because the Bible says I am a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, that I believe. And therefore, if I think I can go through a day without sinning, I now perceive myself as being divine because I am contradicting the Word of God, which Peter was doing due to his pride.
And what Jesus predicts of, lest we just single out Judas and Peter here, what Jesus predicts for Peter, he essentially predicts for all of the disciples. He says, this very night, all of you will fall away. All of you will, and he actually cites a passage, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.
Yes. Yes. And that's happened. In fact, they all fled from him from the Garden of Gethsemane. And that was a fulfillment of this prophecy that he was speaking of. He was, of course, quoting the Old Testament here. And when he was quoting the Old Testament, that means it's going to come true. There are so many quotations in the Old Testament. Somebody once calculated that the odds of one man fulfilling all of them as the Messiah was incalculable. It was like 1 to the 27th, which is just impossible. But Jesus fulfilled every one of them, from being pierced in hands and feet, from the fact that the sheep are scattered. All of these are fulfilled because God is the one in charge of the death of Jesus.
Now, can you tell us a little bit what would have, you know, the questions going around the room, one of you will deny me. They're kind of saying, will it be me? And then Jesus, all of you will fall away. And all of them deny that as well. Why is it that Peter is so adamant about this? I will never, the rest of these, I could understand them falling away, but not me. What does he think of himself?
As I was indicating, his pride is so high that he can't imagine that he would ever do this to his Lord. Recall, this is after the Palm Sunday event. This is after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And so at times, and this is good to tell the Sunday school children, in a wonderful worship service or reading the Bible, you can get so excited about Jesus and what he has done for you, you can actually get to the opinion that, boy, there's no way I'm going to sin. And then all of a sudden, something happens in school where you have a classmate and he does something that you don't like. He maybe speaks against you. He gossips against you. And all of a sudden, you hate him. And you may even think bad thoughts, which is, of course, breaking the fifth commandment. All of us are prone to breaking every one of the commandments, regardless of our prideful condition, thinking that we're not going to do that.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson, Mark chapter 14, Peter denies Jesus. Now, before we ever get to that campfire where Peter is going to be denying Jesus three times, just as predicted, we have to go through the Garden of Gethsemane, and already things begin to fall apart for Peter and his comrades. Stay tuned. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Here's a great insight from the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, because it almost looks like Jesus is, well, setting Peter up for a fall, but this isn't true. Jesus is not setting up an I told you so situation. It says here he's actually providing words of comfort. He is telling them and his disciples that he knows that they cannot stand up either to the temptations of the devil or to the wrath of God, and that they will fall away. But he is announcing that he will stand and conquer. He will defeat temptation. He will overcome death, and he will be raised up again and go before them into Galilee. That's part of the great Christ-centered, cross-focused insights that you'll find in this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, they go through Gethsemane before they get to the palace of the high priest, where the denial actually takes place. And it looks to me like things are starting to fall apart for at least Peter, James, and John at this point, because they're unable to even remain awake for the short time that Jesus endures there in Gethsemane. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. After the Maundy-Thursday meal, they go and they're singing a hymn. And the hymn is a popular song. It's the Psalms 113 to 118, called the Hallel. Gethsemane is a walled garden that was east of Jerusalem, and they would often take the grapes and make them into wine. And it was a common place for Jesus and his disciples to go to. It's part of the reason why Judas knew how to find Jesus later on when he brought the soldiers with him. And they go to this place called Gethsemane, and he tells his disciples to sit here while I pray. He goes about a stone length away, and then he prays. And one of the items he prays about is, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Now, there is a lot of ink spilled as to what Jesus meant by that. Remove this cup from me, because there's other parts in the Bible that he makes it very clear that he recognizes that he has to die and that he is not going to stop that from happening. But why does he say, remove this cup from me? There's two answers, and this is kind of about Lutheran theology to a great degree, Todd, that often the church does not have an official position on an application of a verse if it's permitted by the context. The traditional understanding is this really shows Jesus' humanity. He knows that when he goes to the cross, the worst thing that's going to happen is not the pain of the cross, but actually being forsaken by the Father. And so, in his great distress and anguish, he's just asking, could it be removed? But people who have that interpretation say it was still an act of faith, because immediately he says, yet not what I will, but what you will. So that's the one interpretation. The one I lean a little bit more towards is a little different. It's very clear that if you take a look, and this Gethsemane is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not found in John at all. Nothing said about the Garden of Gethsemane in the Gospel of John. But in both Matthew and Mark, this is stated. Matthew 26:38, my soul is very sorrowful even to death. And then in Mark 14, verse 34, my soul is very sorrowful even to death. And we know that he's near death because he's in great agony, which means severe mental struggle. And he's also sweating as of drops of blood, which is another sign of being near death. This interpretation, when he says in, say, verse 35 of Mark 14, if it were possible the hour might pass from him, I think what he's talking about is this hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I found two commentators, one is Schaff and the other is a pulpit commentary, and here's what they say. I'll do the pulpit. Our Lord separated himself about a stone's cast from the three disciples, threw himself on the ground in mortal agony, and prayed that this hour of his supreme mental anguish might, if possible, pass from him. In other words, God answered that prayer by sending him an angel to comfort him. And what Jesus is saying with that interpretation is that he does not want to die in the Garden of Gethsemane. He needs to die as the Father has willed from the Old Testament by being pierced in hands and feet on Golgotha, namely by means of a crucifixion. And so the hour he's talking about is not the hour on the cross. And if one does just a study of the word hour, there are numerous meanings of it. In fact, Judgment Day is talked about, the hour is coming, and there's many other hours. So I kind of lean towards the interpretation that he's not talking about that he wishes the cross wouldn't occur, but that he wouldn't die in the Garden of Gethsemane instead. But as Lutherans, one can have either interpretation, because it's not that clear from Scripture which is the correct one.
So the disciples are obviously not – the contrast between Jesus and the disciples here is undeniable. Jesus couldn't fall asleep even if he wanted to at this point, and the disciples are just kind of weary with the evening. It's very late, and even the short time that Jesus is away from them, they just can't keep their eyes awake. Three times he goes to pray, three times he has to rebuke them for their almost apathy. They just don't see why Jesus is, or even seem to notice that Jesus is so upset. What's going on?
Jesus has said very clearly that he is going to be crucified and then rise from the dead 3 days later. In fact, there was a previous conversation where he had to say to Peter, who said, no, that's not going to happen. I'll protect you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is clear from the text, it says in verse 40, for example, of Mark 14, their eyes were very heavy. In other words, they were sleepy. And therefore, when he came and said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and he prayed them that they would not enter into temptation. Now, what's the temptation he's talking about? Well, he knows that the next hour is going to be at hand, as he says, when Judas shows up, and they fall right into temptation. Peter draws out his sword, cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, thinks that he can bring in the kingdom of God by means of violence, and that's the temptation they fall into, as well as, very soon, the fulfillment of Peter denying Jesus three times is going to occur.
So this picture is of things, if Peter had doubted Jesus, saying, you will deny me three times, he has to start getting a little weary here, especially Judas shows up, as you pointed out. All the disciples flee away. Apparently, John and Peter don't flee as far as the other disciples because they're able to track Jesus being led away to the palace of the high priest and kind of follow at a safe distance. John appears to be a little braver here because he's known to the high priest. He's able to enter the house. Peter, obviously, unable to do so. Take us into that, if you would.
Yes. When Judas arrives, and it even says he's one of the 12, and he has a crowd with him with swords and clubs, a lot of people think these are the Roman soldiers. No, they aren't. They're actually the soldiers from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And it's interesting they do it at night. So they're trying to do it secretly. And, of course, the trial is done very quickly, which, by the way, is against the laws of Judaism at that time. But they definitely want to get him out of the way before the people. Because, remember, that Palm Sunday, the people were from Bethany, and they were really looking forward to Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And the new crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him, was a different crowd that the chief priests, etc., had hired to give false testimony at his trial and so forth. And so Jesus says, look, I was day after day with you in the temple, and you did not seize me. But then he says something that's really important. Let the scriptures be fulfilled. And the very next sentence, verse 50, and they all left him and fled, which is a fulfillment of verse 18. Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. And then he says also that they're all going to flee from him. And that's exactly what happens. The sheep are scattered. Jesus recognizes that the scripture needs to be fulfilled. It's part of the reason that he doesn't die on the cross until he's thirsty, because Psalm 22 says he has to thirst. And at that moment, after he is thirsty, I remember Professor Charlemagne in class saying Jesus looked all the way back to Adam and all the way to the last person who would ever be born in this world, recognized that all of their sins were forgiven, all of the prophecies were fulfilled, and he gave up his spirit, which astonished the centurion because nobody had power over their own life and death, but this Jesus did. So the scripture is being fulfilled, and that's why Jesus is willing to go along, even though he could call a host of angels down and, of course, destroy these soldiers.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest when we come back, just another 10 minutes with him teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus denied by Peter in Mark chapter 14. We'll get to the actual denial and the trial of Jesus before the council right after this.
Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, Differences Between Men and Women, Naturalism, Biblical Archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're talking about Peter's denial of Jesus in Mark chapter 14. Now, we understand here that Peter is put in a position that probably shouldn't have threatened him at all, really. I mean, it's not as though he's in any real immediate danger. He can always run away anytime he wants. In fact, it's a little servant girl, according to the account, that ultimately does him in. Take us into the denial itself.
Yes, he's below in the courtyard. I, like you said, John was able to enter into the area, but Peter was not. And it is a servant girl of one of the high priests and says, aren't you also with that Nazarene Jew? And he denied it. And he said, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And then the rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him, and then she began to talk to the bystanders. And one of them said to him, this man is one of them. But again, he denied it. And then a third time, a bystander said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And that's probably because of his dialect and the language. What he does, he begins to invoke a curse on himself. I do not know this man of whom you speak. And then the rooster crowed the second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before it crows twice, you will deny me three times. And it's in the Gospel of Luke where it says, and Jesus looked at him. And Peter went out and broke down and wept bitterly. And these tears are clearly tears of repentance.
So he's afraid for his own life. Is that essentially the motivation?
Well, even after Jesus rises from the dead, Todd, I find it amazing. Even though they know the grave is empty, where do we find them? We find them again in the upper room, and it says, for fear of the Jews. And I go back to the gospel reading, John 12. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. In other words, they're fearsome over that. Issues Etc. has had some great programming recently, how Christian leaders love the glory from man in regard to, say, abortion, gay marriage, and other such issues that you've been talking about, that they are going along with the world. And we need to warn the children that sometimes we deny Jesus, not when we speak against him, but when we are silent. So I would encourage, most churches are going to be having the Vacation Bible School coming up pretty soon, that we encourage the children to invite their friends to come so that they might come to hear the message.
So what is the basic message for the kids in the few minutes that we have here with you, Tom?
Yes.
In the Sunday school classroom, on this long and rather complicated story of how Peter goes from saying, in the first instance, if I have to die with you, I will never deny you, to just under the notice of a little girl who probably no one would have listened to anyway, he denies Jesus three times, invoking even an oath of heaven on his own head.
There is going to come a time when Peter will die without denying him. But that's when he becomes a martyr. At this point, that's not happening. Reminding us of 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. I think you really hit it on the head earlier when you were quoting the Concordia Publishing House material. They did a great job here. How does God, accusing us of being a sinner, become a comfort to us? It becomes a comfort because we now know that God recognizes us as sinners, and yet he still loves us. And as we confess our sins, he promises to forgive us. So no longer is God like a father. I know every time I misbehave and my dad had heard about it, he punished me, and I was always trying to hide it from him. I don't have to hide it from God, my Father, because he takes those sins to the cross. He takes the times when I denied him either by saying something or silence. He paid for it on the cross in the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. So actually, knowing I'm a sinner becomes a comfort to a degree because I don't have to hide this from a God who loves to hear my confession so that he may forgive me.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Think about this. Here is Peter, and it's hard not to see that he set himself up. Really, isn't that what he's done? He set himself up. Not Jesus hasn't set himself up to fail. It's Peter who's done it to himself. He has, in his pride and his self-confidence, I think that's probably the word that works best for Peter here. In his self-confidence, he has said, of all the people in the world who would finally, in the end, be driven to deny you, I'm not one of them. Even the other disciples, they may all other fall away. Even if I have to die, he stakes his life. He offers, in a sense, his life instead of denying Jesus, but he's got it all backwards. It is Jesus who will die for him, and it is Jesus who will remain faithful even when Peter is faithless. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin, St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri, Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas, St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas, University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado, St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.